Appreciate the reading of the text that was made earlier, Titus chapter 1, verse 10 through verse 16. At the end of the reading of that text, in verse 16, in the New King James Version, it reads, "They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." The they under consideration, of course, are those who inhabit the land, island of Crete. The island of Crete lay off the Grecian shore, or the ancient province of ancient Greece, about 60 miles southwest of that nation. It was an island about 165 miles long and 36 to 38 miles wide at the widest point. Of course, it had been inhabited by this time by some Christians, and the gospel was being taught and spread on the island. Paul found himself on the island on more than one occasion during his evangelistic journey. And it was Titus that he left there after his first Roman imprisonment. He left Titus on that island to set in order the things that were lacking and to appoint elders in every city. And then he goes on to Ephesus, and from there on over into Macedonia. When he writes back to Titus, of course, he mentions the fact about some of the Cretans. Evidently, they were Judaizing teachers. That is, those who were still holding to the law of Moses as a means of justification or salvation. And they were causing problems in some of the churches on the island of Crete. On this occasion, he says they profess to know God. They profess to know God. That is, they make the claim that they have an allegiance with God. Now, of course, this claim to know God was the hallmark of Judaism. As a matter of fact, it showed a clear distinction between the Jewish people and the heathens or pagans or Gentiles in days of old. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 25, Jeremiah said, "Pour out your fury on the Gentiles," note this, "who do not know you, and on the families who do not call on your name." So the Jews were those who knew God. Not only did they have a knowledge of God, but they had a personal relationship with Him as well. And so the Cretans say, that is, these Judaizing teachers in our text, they profess or make the claim to know God, but their claim is simply an empty claim, because the works, the actions and deeds that they engage in deny Him. That is, it shows that they have no allegiance with God, even though they make the claim that they do. Still, it's a very wonderful thing to know God, regardless of the cost. The Apostle Paul demonstrated and spoke of the joy of knowing God. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that, what I've committed to Him until that day." What is it to know God? In our study this morning, we want to note four things that are pertinent to knowing God. It's a wonderful thing to know God. And before one can know God, these four things must be present in their life. First of all, to know God, or to profess that you know God, to make the claim that you know God, you first must be acquainted with Him. Because knowing God involves being acquainted with Him. How do you become to know anyone? Well, by being acquainted with them. Having some knowledge of them and having some knowledge about them. In Hebrews 8 and in verse 10, the writer of Hebrews, quoting from Jeremiah 31, said, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people." Note this. "None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Now, under the old law, if one was a descendant of Abraham, he was automatically referred to as a child of God. That is, through his physical descent from Abraham. Through physical birth, he became a child of God under the old law. After he was born, of course, he had to be taught. He had to be acquainted, become acquainted with God. So note this in verse 11 of Hebrews 8. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and then his brother saying, Know the Lord. Under the old law, that's the way it was. That is, at birth they were known as children of God, descendants of Abraham. But then they had to be taught about God. Under the new law, one can't become a Christian without knowing God. Note this, verse 11 again. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me. When one becomes a Christian, he becomes acquainted with God. It's because he's been taught of God. He's been taught the gospel. He's been taught the will of God. He knows God's will for his life. And so, he won't have to know God because he will already know God. Having come to know God, he'll become a child of God. Do we not see that? Under the old law, they were automatically children of God through birth. Under the new law, one has to be first taught of God, and then he becomes a child of God. So man has no excuse for not being acquainted with God. Even though knowing God involves becoming acquainted with Him, no one has an excuse of not being acquainted with God, because the gospel has been given to all. Everybody can read and study the gospel and come to be acquainted with God. They can know what God expects in their life. They can know what God requires of them. No one has an excuse because God has revealed himself to man. Paul said in Titus 1 and verse 3, But has, that is God has, in due time, that is at a most appropriate time, manifested his word through preaching. Manifested, declared, made known his word through preaching. So no one can say, I'm not acquainted with God. Knowing God involves being acquainted with Him. If you want to become acquainted with God, become closer to Him, study His Word. Become acquainted with God. Know what He requires of you in your life. Knowing God not only involves acquaintance, but it also involves having a proper relationship with Him. As one becomes acquainted with God, he can become closer to God. He can come to have a close, personal relationship with Him. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament as well, the word know sometimes is used in reference to a sexual relationship. Now, think about that. When one forms a sexual union or a connection with the one whom they're married to, that is a close, personal, intimate relationship. I think we understand that and how the word know is used in regard to that union or relationship. For example, in Matthew 1 and in verse 24, Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Did not know her, did not have a union or relationship sexually with her. I think we understand that. Luke 1 and verse 34, Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man, since I've never had a union or relationship physically, sexually with a man? So we see that the word know sometimes in the Scripture has reference to a close, personal, intimate relationship. And knowing God involves such a relationship. In 1 Corinthians 8, in verse 3, Paul said, "But if anyone loves God," note this, "this one is known by God." If anyone loves God, this one is known by God. That is, God approves of him and has a relationship with him. Do we not see that? Galatians 4, and in verse 9, Paul said to the Galatian brethren, "But now after you have known God, after you've come to form a relationship with him, after you've come to be in union and fellowship with him, or whether or known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" So to know God, to have a personal relationship with him, to have a union and to be in the fellowship with him, is for God to be in fellowship with you. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, when God knows you, he has a relationship with you. He approves of you. He has fellowship with you. He's in union with you. So we see that the word know has reference to a relationship that we have with God. So knowing God involves being in a relationship with him. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 19. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those," note this, "who are his." That is, those who belong to him. He knows them because he's in a union and relationship with them. John 10 and verse 14. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I'm known by my own." I know my sheep. How does Jesus know his sheep? Because he is the shepherd. There's a connection, there's a union, there's a relationship between him and his sheep. John 10 and verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me." My sheep hear my voice. They obey my voice and I know them. I have a relationship with them. I'm connected to them. Genesis 18 and verse 19. It was said of Abraham in ages past, "For I have known him," God said, "in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord might bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." So I have known him. God had a relationship with Abraham. He was in union and fellowship with Abraham. In Nahum, the prophet, chapter 1 and verse 7. "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him." He has a relationship with those who trust in him. So, knowing God not only involves being acquainted with him, but it also involves having a proper relationship with him as well. But knowing God also involves doing what he says. Doing what he says. One can't say, "I know God," and then doesn't do what he says. If you say, "I know God," you can't be like the Cretans who made an empty claim, useless, of no benefit and profit to them, though they said they knew God. Remember, their works denied that allegiance that they said they had with God. So knowing God involves doing what he says. 1 John 4 and verse 6, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us." The "we" under consideration is "we are of God," that is, we apostles. We apostles, John the apostle and the other apostles, we are of God. He who knows God, the one who has a relationship with God, the one who's in union with God, hears us, that is, he obeys us. We obey the words of the apostles. When we obey the words of the apostles, we obey God. The words were given to the apostles by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us, does not obey us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By this we know the one who speaks truth and the one who speaks error. Because we are of God, and those who are in union and fellowship with God obey us. They obey his word. 1 John 2 and in verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him. How? If we keep his commandments. We know that we know God. We know we're in a union and fellowship with Him. We know that we're in a relationship with Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected, made complete, brought to completion in Him. By this we know that we are, note this, in Him. In Him is synonymous with knowing Him. Do you not see that? Now by this we know that we know Him. To know Him is to be in a relationship with Him, be in fellowship with Him, be in union with Him. By this we know that we are in Him, in a relationship, in fellowship with Him. How do we know? If we keep His commandments. So knowing God not only involves being acquainted with God, not only involves having a relationship with Him, knowing God involves obeying or keeping His commandments. This is in close connection with what is said in 2 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 8. Note this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who do not know God. Note that. It seems as though there's two groups under consideration there. Those who do not know God on the one hand, and then those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on the other hand. But no, it's not two groups. It's just one group. Those who do not know God are those who do not obey the gospel. Amen. Do you see that? Hopefully you see that in the context. The same people are under consideration. Not two different groups of people. When you say you know God, but you don't keep His commandments, you make an empty claim. You're like the Cretans of Titus's day. You really have no allegiance to God. When you make the claim that you know Him, but do not obey the gospel. Knowing God involves keeping His commandments. And keeping on keeping His commandments. Galatians 4 and in verse 8 again. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, when you did not have a relationship with God, when you were not in fellowship with God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, after you are in fellowship with God, after you are in a relationship with God, or rather are known by God, and God has a relationship with you, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I've labored for you in vain. These Galatian brethren, though they had once obeyed the gospel, at one time evidently they were pagans. Verse 8, they served those which by nature were not gods. But now that they serve the true and the living God and have a relationship and fellowship with Him, why do they want to go back to paganism? Why do they want to go back to Judaism? Once they obey, they should continue to obey. Knowing God involves obedience and continuing to obey. But knowing God also involves having the proper attitude. Having the proper attitude. In 1 John 4 and verse 7, John said, Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone who loves, note this, is born of God and knows God. Get that? Everyone who loves is born of God. That means you're a child of God. And a child of God is one who knows God. You can't say, I know God, and not be a child of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, has a relationship with God. And he who does not love, note this, does not know God, does not have a relationship with God, does not have fellowship with God, does not have a union with God, for God is love. Knowing God involves a proper attitude. A proper attitude directed toward our fellow man, our fellow brethren, and God. The kind of love that saved us is the kind of love that we should extend to those of the world. The kind of love that saved us, that is the sacrificial love, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That kind of love we should express to our fellow man, to our brethren, and to God. Yes, we should have a sacrificial love for God. We should be willing to give our life in sacrifice for His cause. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love finds its origin and source in God, for God is love. We must express love. And the one who does not express love in his life to those of the world, to his brethren and to God, does not know God, does not have a relationship with God, does not have fellowship with God. Many who have reason to know God in a number of ways demonstrate in this very one thing that they really do not know God. They say they love the people of the world, but they'll never reach out to them with the gospel. They say that they love their fellow man, but they'll do everything they can if their fellow man is harming them or persecuting them or speaking against them in some way. They will seek vengeance against their fellow man. But we should leave the vengeance to God, and we should express our love for those who would even persecute us and seek our harm. We should love our brethren, even when brethren sometimes might do those things that displease us, do those things that we would disagree with, do those things sometimes that are sinful. We need to still express our love to them. We need to express our love to God in obedience to His will. Obey and always obey. Because when people do not know God, sometimes it's because they simply do not love those of the world, their fellow brethren, nor God, nor the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do know God do some strange things. Those who are in fellowship with God, those who love God, sometimes do some strange things. John 15 and verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, Jesus speaking. A servant is no greater than his master, for they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Yes, you may love God and love your fellow man and speak the word of God to them, but you're going to be persecuted and hated for it. Those who do not know God will do some strange things. They will afflict you and persecute you and say all kinds of things against you. But if you know God, if you love your fellow man and love your brethren, it'll cause you to do some strange things, and people will think that when you do that, you're strange indeed. 1 Peter 4 and in verse 1, Peter there said, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Note this. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So those who know God, those who have a personal relationship with Him, those who are in fellowship with Him, those who are in union with Him, and those who love Him and obey His commandments, It'll cause them to do some strange things in the eyes of the world. And people will think you're strange because you no longer engage in those things that you once did, because you recognize and realize that they're sinful and wrong in the eyes of God. They will give an account, Jesus said, or Peter said. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So knowing God involves having a proper attitude, an attitude expressed in love to those of the world, to our brethren, and to God himself. And when we do, people will indeed think us strange. But those who do not know God and do not love him will do some strange things too. You say, well, preacher, I know God. I'm well acquainted with him. I study and read the scriptures on a daily basis. I have a proper relationship with him. I'm in union and in fellowship with him. I'm in him because I've been baptized into that relationship with him. I always do what he says. I always obey his word in the gospel. And I have the right and proper attitude, not only toward my brethren and toward God, but those of the world. Great! You know God! That's a wonderful thing. But might I remind you of some in times past who knew God? Romans 1 and verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they knew God. The Gentiles did know God. They were acquainted with him. God had revealed his word to mankind in the beginning. Even though the Gentiles did not have a written and codified law like the Jews did, Gentiles still had a knowledge of God and what God required of them. But these who once knew God, God gave up. Romans 1 and verse 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Though they knew God at one point, God gave them up. That is, he turned them over to their own desires and inclinations of the flesh. He let them go their way, even though it was against his will, even though it was against his desire and his plan for their life. He gave them up. Romans 1 and verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. Romans 1 and verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased man. So you know God, great. But just remember, though you may have a relationship with God now, don't live your life in such a way that God will give you up. But you may be here this morning and may not have a relationship with God. You may not be acquainted with him. You may not be in that union and fellowship where you need to be. Remember, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That little Greek conjunction "and" there could have been easily translated "that is." As a matter of fact, in the Jewish Bible, that's the way it's translated. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, that is, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we not see that? It's important that you see that. To know God means that you obey him. To know God means that you have a relationship with him. And because you obey him, it brings about that relationship. We see this in several places in the Scripture. Jeremiah 10 and verse 25, we noted earlier. Pour out your fury on the Gentiles, note this, who do not know you. That is, on the families who do not call on your name. Those who do not know God, those who are not in a relationship with him, are the same as those who do not call on his name. The psalmist said in Psalm 79 in verse 6, pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, that do not have a relationship with you. That is, on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. So I hope you see that in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. That's not two different groups of people, it's the same people. It can only be said that you know God if you obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to obey it. Because through obedience to the gospel, you become to have a union, fellowship, and relationship with God. Galatians 3 and verse 26, for we're all sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how we get into that relationship. So if you don't know God this morning because you're not in a relationship with Him, get into that relationship. Obey the gospel. Believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you know God, if you're in a relationship with Him, recognize and realize that you can be given up. That relationship can be severed. God can give you up to your vile passions if you'll not continue to obey the gospel. So if you have sin in your life as a child of God, one who knows God, repent of that sin, confess that sin, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song selected.